This podcast contains some strong language and adult themes, so listener discretion is advised. If it's not your cup of tea, then go and find something else. But if it is, then we're happy to have you.
Hello, and welcome back to our... No, wait.
Right, so yeah, you go, I'm Jess. God, Jesus Christ,
am I struggling
it's not that
too
hard.
Much today?
Oh, I'm Jess.
Night. Oh,
oh God, no, you've talked over... I'm Jess.
And I'm Holly.
And welcome to the podcast where two besties...
I'm sorry. Right, I'm starting again now.
I'm Jess.
And I'm Holly. Because if I'm saying that bit, then you need to go... I need to go first. Okay. I'm Holly.
And I'm Jess.
And welcome to Two Kids and a Best Friend, the podcast where two besties discuss everything from night feeds to nights out, celebrity gossip, confessions, embarrassing stories, and just everything in between, really.
Well, happy fourth episode. That means we've been going for a month now.
It does, and that also means that it's lasted longer than most of my situationships, so that is a win.
Love it. We've also had some more international listeners. We've had Indonesia, Belgium, Germany, and UAE.
Which is insane, because we spoke about this before, about the international listeners that we had in some far-flung places, and I just think to myself, can they understand our West Country accents?
I know. I mean, we are quite Janners, aren't we?
We are. So for anyone who doesn't know, Janner is the term for people who are from Plymouth. There is some kind of thing behind it. I have Googled it many a times. I still can't remember how it came to be.
It's quite funny. So when I went to Michael McIntyre a couple of weeks ago, he made a joke about it. He said, like, as you get lower in the country, the accents start getting a little bit more like... hillbilly. So you start off at Bristol. I can't do a Bristol accent, but it's like the Plymouthian accent, but just on a heightened level because everything's busier in Bristol, you know, everything. And the further down country you get, the slower the conversations get. And then by the time you get into Cornwall, they can hardly talk.
We want to start by saying that last week's episode, look, we weren't on form. It was a bad day at the office. Jess had tonsillitis. She just had a row. I'd just got out the bath. My legs were itching from the bath bomb. I was a bit hungover. It was a roller coaster.
It was a poor episode, wasn't it? You really were scraping barrels trying to get some content together for us, weren't you?
If you Google what polishing a turd is like, that was me editing the episode.
We did probably about an hour and 20 minutes of conversation, didn't we? And you managed to pull 20 minutes from it.
And that was long enough. So this week, we are making up for it in abundance. We have got some great stuff to discuss, haven't we?
We have prepped this week.
We have. So we ended up recording late on, was it Saturday evening?
And we were like, right, we're going to do it tonight, blah, blah, blah. And then you were sat waiting and I was stressing, trying to sort the kids, get them to bed, because we're quite difficult, aren't we? Because of our different lifestyles. So like by the time you finish work and you're ready to record, I need to get the kids to bed. So it can be quite hard navigating when to do it. So we tend to have to do it in the evenings. And last week before we were going to record, me and Ollie had a massive row. Like I can't even really remember what it was about, but you know, when you just irritate each other and then you make nasty comments to try and hurt each other. So Ollie had made a nasty comment to me that had really, really riled me up. Like I was so angry. So he was starting to put the kids to bed, because usually we split out our like cook tea, do dishes, he puts the kids up to bed, blah, blah, blah. So he was getting Ella ready for bed and he goes to me like, oh, I need the Sudocrem. So I was like, oh, okay, like, I'll go and get it. And he's stomping around in a mood. And I went upstairs and I was so angry. Do you know when you get that rage inside you and you cannot shake it? Like, you get so angry, you want to punch something. You're like, and you can't shake it, can you? So he was sat there changing his nappy. And I was just stood looking at him from behind. And I thought, oh, and I just threw the Sudo creme at his back. It wasn't soft. It wasn't a light underarm soft throw. It was a bit.
It was
of a
an
hard
overarm.
So it was a bad throw. And then he got all dramatic, like, "What the fuck? Why'd you do that?" Blah blah blah. And we just had a massive row. And then I came down, didn't I? And I sat down and I was like, "Holly, I don't even want to record." Like, then I was in a mood and I couldn't shake it. And then I knew he was in a mood because I had just thrown that at him. And then you were like, "Jess, this is good content for the show. Why don't you talk about it?" And I was like, "No, because people are gonna accuse me of domestic violence." It all got really out of hand.
Listen. You're lying if you've never found yourself in a situation like that where you've done something as a knee-jerk reaction. He's fine. Don't worry.
There was no bruise on his back. No. And I did instantly regret it because I thought, oh God, I shouldn't have let my anger take it out of me. But he had fucked me off and there was rage in my eyes.
And I just remember when you sat down and you were telling me about it and you were going, oh, he's going, oh, it hurts, it hurts. I was like, did you tell him to put some Sudocrim on it? So how has life been for you this week?
Okay, so I've been dying to tell you this. So you know that I was on antibiotics because of my tonsillitis. Mm. I don't know if antibiotics make you have like lucid dreams or like intense dreams. I know that like when you're pregnant, you tend to get like intense real dreams. So I would have been having vivid dreams. And I had a dream one night. It was so intense. So it was basically me and Ollie. Ollie decided he was going to leave me for a man. And it was horrible. It was like I was watching it from the outside. So he left me. He was suddenly gay with this man. His whole family were like accepting it, like fucked me off, like didn't care about me anymore, to the point where like I was sat in my car looking at my hand with no wedding rings on because we had like fully split and I was crying in the car. Like, that is how realistic this dream was. But do you want to know the worst thing about it is Ollie genuinely looked so happy in the dream, like with his new partner. He was like, I was like watching it, he was like in a house, he was dancing, smiling, his family were all there, like all loved his new partner, he looked so happy. And my God, it was awful. And then, you know, when like you wake up and it feels so real. So I woke up in the morning and I went downstairs to Ollie because he was fell asleep on the sofa and like gave him a massive hug. And he was like, what's wrong? And I was like, you left me for a man in my dream. And it just felt so real. And like, I feel like sometimes when you come out of a dream for like an hour or so, you still feel it, don't you? Like when it's been an intense dream like that.
If someone's upset you, you're still fuming with them.
Yeah. Yeah. So usually I wake up angry if I have a dream that Ollie's cheated on me. But this one was just like, it was intense. It was like a real, like going through a divorce and, you know, the kids and I lost his family. Gosh. And my God, it was horrible. And it just like made me really sad. So I felt all like lovey-dovey with him for a day and then it faded off again. And I also had an upsetting time this week because I've been speaking to my manager at work about going back. Ella's 9 months now and it has gone so quick. So I had a right breakdown a couple of days ago, like crying, thinking like, aww, I don't want to go back. It's just so much. And like, it is horrible. Like, you get all this time off with your child and suddenly you've got to leave them to go back to work. And not everyone gets the luxury of being able to go back part time. So I condense my hours. So I basically work full time, but over 4 days. So I work longer days and then have a Friday off. So that's nice. So it's still really good that I get the Fridays, but 4 days to be away, it is a long time, isn't it?
If you found that too difficult, do you think you could drop another day?
I don't think so. But also, Holly, I like money too much. So like...
So I know when we started this podcast, you were going to be talking about your mum life, your married life, and I was going to be talking about my single life and everything.
Yeah, now, I feel like you haven't bought enough of your single life to us yet, Halls.
Do you know what it is? It's because I've been off the grid a little bit. I've been on the down low because I'm just fed up of all the nonsense. I actually deleted the apps because I just couldn't face it anymore. And I just thought to myself, I'm going to leave it up to fate now. It's just not, that's not what I'm about anymore. So obviously, since I've deleted the apps and everything, my romantic life has been a bit quiet. But I have got a bit of a dilemma that I need to tell you because, and I know I can say this with confidence because he ain't going to be listening to this. But in the building complex I live in, there is a really friendly security guard that works in the co-op that's downstairs. So it's really convenient because if you just need to nip in and get some bits, like it's on your doorstep. However, as we know, co-op's really overpriced. Oh, but that's God, not the only inconvenient issue here.
What?
It's that, yeah, he's really friendly, chats to everyone when they come in and you're there. You go in literally for a pint of milk and you're there for 2 hours talking to him about your life story.
You're a really friendly person, whereas like I've got that resting bitch face. I won't even give eye contact. I'll like head down, walk past. You're like smile and then get caught.
Well, I know. And this is what's bit me in the ass because I've on occasion just kept my headphones in and pretended I've been like on a call when I've not. And that's bad. Anyway, he has been lovely. But it got to the point. I've lived here 2 years now. I think he thought he'd make his move. He said,
oh,
let's go for a drink sometime. He's got daughters that are, I think,
asked you out for a drink?
Yeah. And he went, oh, yeah, just like mates, innit? And then I thought, is it like mates, though? Because then he's brought it up a couple more times where he's gone, oh, yeah, don't forget about us going for that drink. And I'm like,
oh, stop. How old is he?
Well, he's told me he's got two daughters that are my age.
Oh, shit.
But my dilemma now is, how do I avoid this? Because I can't never go in that co-op again. He's there all the bloody time.
Not when it's downstairs. What about when you need your emergency chocolate?
I know. I'm going to have to walk all 20 minutes to Tesco. I don't think so.
No. I think my advice in this situation, Hals, is you're going to have to pretend to be on a call every time you go in.
Yeah. Because I thought, what am I going to do? It's downstairs, mate. What am I going to do when I need some emergency tampons?
So what I'd like to ask you is maybe what our listeners would like to know is, what is maybe one of your most awkward or funny dating stories? I feel like I've had a few, but I haven't had them all. So tell me a story I don't know about that happened maybe years ago, recently.
Right. So this one's probably the most random. And I just want to start by saying that this guy was a genuinely lovely, lovely guy. We matched on Bumble when I was visiting back home in Plymouth, and he was a doctor. He was he worked in plastics. So we did like a lot of reconstructive work for like people who had really bad injuries and stuff. I'd said, hi, how are you? Like the first interaction we had, and he said, oh, sorry for the late reply. This guy's just cut his dick off and I've had to try and put it like back
actually
in his body.
Actually cut it off, like with a knife.
Yeah, and one of his testicles.
Oh, I don't even have a dick, but that's making me cringe imagining it.
And all the nerves, can you imagine putting all of them together? So what a story, though. I mean, we met because we like bonded over a severed penis. Because
I bet you loved that. I bet you were asking all the questions, weren't you?
I can actually say that someone got a plane to come and take me on a date. So that's what he did. He flew up from Newquay Airport.
Did he
take me on a date in Manchester?
He was keen then.
And yeah, I honestly, I think I pretty much ghosted. And that, I will
Holly,
say, listen.
A doctor?
Listen, this was not long after I first moved here. So a couple of years ago now. And I just split up with my long-term boyfriend. So I think I was just really emotionally unavailable. And it all got too real quite quickly. But that's probably the most chivalrous thing that anyone's ever done for me. So that's pretty insane. We went from seven penises to
is he single now?
I think so. But you know what's funny, about sort of 6 months ago I got really drunk and I was thinking about like the people I've wronged. I felt really guilty. Googled him. He's now doing aesthetic injections and stuff as well.
Oh, you've missed out there because you could have got all your free filler. Celeb news. We've got to talk about the photos of Christine Quinn's husband getting arrested.
Christian.
So Christine Quinn, for those who don't know, from Selling Sunset, our fave programme, her husband has been pictured in a dressing gown being arrested. Hopefully it wasn't him throwing a tub of Sudu creme at her.
I don't know, but the photos of him stood out in the street in his dressing gown.
Tragic.
So
I mean,
rough.
Could you not quickly get changed? Like, there's always time before the police show up, isn't it? Like, quickly chuck something on.
Oh, another entertainment-y type news bit. Love is Blind UK is coming out. And I remember when you told me to apply for that, but applications
yes,
had already closed. I would fall in love easily through a wall. Like,
yeah.
I mean, as we've discussed before, it's not exactly difficult for me to fall in love. Like, I'm in love on the second date.
Yeah. My favourite thing about Love is Blind is when they reveal each other for the first time and you see, like,
then,
disappointment.
Oh, no, because that's an awkward moment when they see each other and they have to walk all the way along that aisle to meet. And they're just, like, looking at each other like...
Do they kiss? Do they hug? Oh, my God.
Actually, I'm glad that I didn't get to apply for that because that whole experience would have been too much for me.
Do you know what, though? Don't you ever watch those things and think, I wish I knew, like, there was somebody I know that went on this? And honestly, it would be my dream, Holly, to see you on one of these programs. The worst thing is I'd have to make a fucking appearance, wouldn't I? Because I'd be, like, the maid of honour or something.
More like you'd be upset because you'd be having to make all these podcast episodes on your own.
Oh, shit, yeah, I'll have to get some special guests in and do the editing because I wouldn't have a fucking clue.
Oh, well, there's always season two, Love is Blind UK. Never know, I'll probably already be married by the time season two comes out.
You wish. As you know, and I talk about all the time, I love TikTok. So all videos on TikTok, I could spend hours watching. But I always see videos that make me laugh so much, which are things that are embarrassing for no reason. So I've compiled a list and I thought I'd read them out and we can discuss whether or not we think they're embarrassing. Walking across a zebra crossing. Isn't that awkward? Like when you know people are watching you walk, like do you say thank you? Do you just head down? Do you smile?
This is where my toxic trait is that I think I'm the main character of the universe because I'm stood at the crossing thinking, oh my God, everyone's probably watching me, like thinking how embarrassing. She stood there. Oh, she could have gone. She could have gone then. She didn't. And sometimes I swear they speed up to the crossing. Yeah. It's like, honey, you can run me over if you want. At least I get some time off.
I saw this one and this actually made me laugh. Getting out of a swimming pool. Is there anything more awkward than getting out of a swimming pool?
Especially when you can't use the stair bit. Because if you've got to lift yourself out, there is no point in your life where you realise how weak you are.
Oh my God. And then like
and
everyone...
you hook your leg over and you think, have I just shown people my crack?
When someone holds out a door for you but is slightly far away and then you've got to like awkwardly speed up to walk through that door or do you just like walk slowly?
Yeah,
and
also
wait?
I do this thing where I don't do like a whole like thanks. I do like a little thanks or cheers because it's not quite worth a full oh thanks. It's like a thanks.
Oh thanks. My God. So I feel
or
like...
go sorry.
I feel like Brits are so funny. So this is another thing Michael McIntyre said. You know when like someone's in a supermarket and you want to reach past them to get something? You don't, like Americans and that just go, excuse me, can I get that? Whereas British people just go, can I just, and like don't finish a
sentence.
Sorry,
is it all right if I just,
can
do
I
you
just...
mind if I just?
Why doesn't anyone ever finish that sentence?
God, I hope anyone who's listening to our podcast hasn't got tickets to see Michael McIntyre because you've spoiled so many of the jokes. So rather than doing our embarrassing story about each other, which we normally do, we asked people to send in their confessions or questions they wanted us to answer or just some advice that they felt like they needed. So We have got a few of those here.
So the first bit of advice we've been asked is from an anonymous person. So it says, "Hello, ladies. I am in a bit of a pickle. So there is a new guy I'm talking to and I like him and he said that he likes me. I went to see him a few days ago and as soon as I left to go home, he hadn't messaged me or contacted me the whole day. So I messaged him the next day and asked if we were okay and if he still wanted to continue talking. And he said he's still happy to talk, see each other, and he said we are okay. However, I've messaged him again today and I haven't heard anything from him. He's read the messages and hasn't replied back. Feels like it's suddenly gone to a one-sided thing. I don't want to keep asking him questions because I don't want him to feel interrogated or that I'm pressuring him. Do I leave it a couple of days and see if he messages me or do I leave it now? What do you think I should do?"
I've been in this situation and it's so weird how sometimes they can be so full on into you, then all of a sudden essentially get the ick, but for no reason other than they just realize, oh my God, this is, I'm actually emotionally unavailable. I'm not in the place to commit to anything. So it's almost like as soon as they see you and have that time with you, they go, oh my God, like this is too much. And I actually have done it with people myself. And I could have handled that so much better. You deserve someone who's not going to leave you on red, not going to make you question where you're at with someone. You don't want to be second guessing where you're at. It's just not fair.
I find that myself, it's really hard to give good advice to people on anything to do with that because I have no dating experience. I've been with Ollie since I was 17. So in situations like that, I first look at that and think, fuck him. Like, you deserve someone who's like chasing after you, blah, blah, blah. But you know what? I know somebody who openly says that she chased her partner and he wasn't really that interested at first and she kind of pursued him. Mm-hmm. And now they're together, they are so in love, he's besotted by her and obsessed with her. And, you know, so it's not always to say that so it can't blossom into something, but I would probably say about 90% of the time. What's it like off he's not just not that into you?
I was just going to say,
exception in the rule.
I was going to say that's the other thing, because often the more you give someone, the more they can withdraw. So if you're messaging them more and more, trying to keep the conversation going, if they've already decided in their head that actually this is all too much, you're just going to, that's going to prove their point of how they feel. You know, I've had people that have liked me and gone, oh, I don't want to have anything too serious because X, Y, and Z, and I can't do this and I can't do that. And then I think, well, actually, if you did really like me, you would want that. Like, so she's now going to spend her time overthinking, thinking, what did I do wrong? What was it? And she's going to be picking apart the date and analysing herself and blaming herself. And that, I think, is the worst part about it, is because it really plays on your mind. As hard as it is, you need to go into self-preservation mode now. You need to not text him back. Just archive the chat on your WhatsApp. Mute the chat.
100%.
Try and move on. But rejection is redirection. Hi, ladies. Loving the pod. I lost my husband 2 years ago after a short illness. We had a very active sex life. You go, girl. I'm in my 60s and I have recently met someone and the sex is amazing. He's a bit younger than me and shall I say, well endowed.
What does that mean?
Well endowed.
Yeah.
It means he's large and in charge. Oh dear, right. My problem is I feel a bit sore inside. He's very gentle, but I'm just not used to it. What should I do? Is this a common thing? Do you have any ideas? Don't tell me to stop as I'm enjoying it too much.
I have had issues like this in the past where sometimes you have sex and it does get a little bit sore down there. And
you end up getting thrush after.
Yeah, and you end up getting thrush. So I think it's sometimes if you're too dry, so if you're dry and they're obviously going in and out, then it's friction and it's causing pain. My first bit of advice was maybe try a bit of lube, and if that ain't working, I'd be going to a doctor to get checked to see what the issue is there.
Do you know what I would say though? Good on you for getting back out there, because
oh god, yeah,
I can't imagine what it's like to lose a partner and they pass away. I
Oh,
genuinely,
God, yeah.
genuinely cannot imagine. And the fact that you have taken charge of your own happiness and you've allowed yourself to get out back out there and have some fun, I really think that you definitely shouldn't stop doing what you're doing. There's still a lot of life left to live. You shouldn't be sat alone in your house in your wedding dress like Miss Havisham. You should be out there living the rest of your life, because life is precious, as you well know now, having been through what you've been through. This is giving me those vibes of that woman who was on there this morning, where she was on with Holly and Phil, and she says that she was with a younger man, and she says, "I felt like I've been riding a horse." And she went, "And can I tell you one thing? We used a whole thing of KY jelly." If Ollie died, would you move on and find someone else, do you think? Or
Oh
do you
my
think you'd never
God.
be able to move on? Because I know you two talk about this, because I used to with my ex, and I always used to say to him, if I died, I would haunt you if you met someone else.
It's like that thing, isn't it, where like when you're watching from heaven and you see a woman tell your husband,
Over my dead body.
she would want you to be happy. No, I fucking don't.
Yeah, I
Ollie's
want you
only
miserable.
29. No, he's gonna turn 29 in a couple months. And I would want him to stay single forever. I don't want him to be happy with anyone else. You know, he's had his great love. Why the fuck does he need another one? I want him to be single. You know, he can wank and whatever, but he cannot sleep with anyone and just raise our children, you know. And I'll be with him in spirit.
Next thing you know, when he gets tonsillitis and he sees a face in the back of his tonsil,
Will be me.
he'll go, "Oh my God, was that Jess?"
Do you know what? Genuinely, going back to question, would I move on? I always say no. And do you know what? Because Ollie's my soulmate. Ollie's the person that I want to spend my life with. I don't feel like I'd feel the need to go out and do it again. First of all, I would never want to go into that fucking dating pool. Fuck that. The stories I hear from you and other people, it's more hassle than it's bloody worth. But also, I would feel like I was cheating, even though he's, you know, dead. I would still feel like it was cheating because we didn't officially break up, you know, like our love was still there. I don't know. I do think about this sometimes, which
Oh,
is very morbid, but
that's actually made me feel quite
I
emotional.
know it's awful, isn't it? Like the thought of, oh God, it's like, PS, I love you, isn't it? Like,
Nah, oh, that film.
I do not think I would move on. I'm leaving it in your hands, Holly. If I die, do not ever tell him that I would want him to be happy.
I would never tell him to move on and find someone else.
No, I know. I mean, if someone tells him, then you'll have to set him straight.
I'd be literally doing the reading at your funeral, going, "Thank you all for coming. I just want to say now, while you're all here, if Ollie ever thinks about moving on,
Do
I'll
you
have
know what
him."
I love? Those videos where it's like when you're at your best friend's funeral and it's like, she was lovely. She was never said a bad word about anyone. She lit up a room when she walked in it, and it's the best friend sat there like,
She
oh,
never had
who
a
the.
nice word to say about any of you here.
So that's it for episode 4. Thank you to everyone who is actually tuned back in for a fourth episode. We hope you're enjoying us so far. As always, please do not forget to rate us a 5-star on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. You can follow us on Instagram at Two Kids and a Best Friend. And we're also going to start getting out some TikToks this week. So you can follow us there.
And we want to hear your confessions, your questions, and a bit of anything, whatever you would like us to discuss. So just send us an email, twokidsandabestfriend@gmail.com, or send us a DM. We can keep you anonymous. We accept voice notes too. We just want to hear from you, basically.
We've got a lot of good advice to give. On that note, goodbye.
Bye, baby.